Good morning, everybody, and shalom. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. We are so grateful to God to come back to the Word of God. We must confess that for some time we have not have reflected on the audio, even in the books that have gone by. We have not been able to do the audios in the book of Zechariah and even the book of Haggai the prophet, and God willing will come back and look at them. But allow me to go straight to the book of Esther. The book of Esther, this is one of the two books that are written about the women in the Bible. The other book is the book of Ruth. Now, the book of Esther is a very great book to study. This book of Esther introduces the reader to a new Jewish festival called Purim, which was celebrated, or which celebrated God's rescue for the Jews who planned a genocide through the courage of a queen, and Esther, or in a Jewish queen called Esther, and her mentor, who was called Mordecai. In other words, when the Israelites were told to go back or to return back through the decree of a king called Cyrus, only 50,000 returned. More than 1 million Jews did not leave Babylon. They did not leave the land of exile. They chose to remain there. And the book of Esther highlights what happened to these people who chose to remain. And one of the things that we find here is that there was one of a person called Haman. And we are going to learn about him more, who was the enemy of the Jews. In fact, the Bible introduces him as the enemies, or as the enemy of the Jews. He planned to kill everybody who did not return. But God came in and helped the Jews. The Bible says that God overturned the tables. And by overturning the tables, the Israelites then started to celebrate a festival called Purim. Purim comes from the word lot, because they had cast the lot to kill these people. And when God overturned the table and rescued them from this, they started celebrating. So this book of Esther introduces us to that festival. And we are told, while some of the Jews had returned to Jerusalem following the decree of Cyrus, a large population remained in the diaspora, and they were living there as a minority believer under the Persian unbeliever rule. The key character of this high-stake political drama centers around four figures. Number one, Esther, a lady called Hadassah. Esther, also called Hadassah. She was a young Jewish orphan who later became the queen of Persia. Number two, second figure is Mordecai, who was Esther's cousin and guardian, who refused to bow and worship Haman. Number three, Haman, he was the king's high-ranking official who plotted the genocide of Jews who remained in Persia. And four, King Xerxes, also called Ahasuerus, he was the son of Darius, who was a powerful, and he was a powerful and impulsive ruler of Persia. The book of Esther challenges the reader to look for God's help in the ordinary life, and this is called providence. It suggests that even when God seems silent or hidden in secular, often hostile world, he's active through the faithfulness and the courage of the individuals in that place. It's a story about the survivor of a people and the triumph of justice over prejudice and racism. We see the reversal of the fortune and overturning of the tables through divine intervention. Now, this first chapter, as we start, we want the leader to look at three parties. We began section one, which is Esther 1:1 to 13. We are introduced to a person called Vashti, or Queen Vashti here, who refused the king's command. But here we are going to look at this first part. We are going to look at three parties, because the book of Esther is a book full of parties, and we are going to number them so that we can understand each one of them. The first party was all a banquet. So it was a party or a banquet or a festival, whatever you would want to call it. It is a book about party after party after party. The first party is the most unique party, or is one of the most unique party, because it was thrown or organized by the king, King Xerxes or Ahasuerus, and it lasted for 180 days. What a party! These are 6 good months. There has never been such a party recorded anywhere. But this is one of the longest party ever held. But who was targeted? If you look at this party, it targeted the top official of the Persia and Medes. It targeted the army officials. It targeted the high ranking. So it was actually a strategic meeting. What was happening here is not written, but in the history, we discover that the civilization or the countries that was to take over or to start fighting with the Persians and Medes was the Greek through Alexander the Great. But this was his father, Philip. The father of Alexander the Great was called Philip. So this party, a banquet, kind of, it was actually to plan the battle or the war against the Greek. So he was amassing himself. He was looking at the strength that he had. The Bible says, before you go to the battle, you're supposed to look at your strength. You're supposed to evaluate yourself. So this was one of the evaluation we are not told about here, but that's what was happening at the background. So after 180 days, which was done or which was targeted for the officials or the army commanders, then it followed immediately 7 days. Now the 7 days was only done to thank those officials, but he invited, King Xerxes invited everybody in the city. This city was called the city of Shusha. or Susa, the way you'd want to pronounce it. And so they came to celebrate. But the way they were celebrating, the Bible talks about giving them wine. This is strange. He gave them wine. For 7 days, the king ordered that everybody, young and old, poor and rich, of course, I think it did not target children. I think every civilization have always protected children, and we thank God for that. But the young, in terms of you are above 18, but you are allowed to drink the way you want, and women were supposed to drink, men were supposed to drink, the poor, everybody was supposed to drink. It was a party of show off. It was actually trying to win the hearts of people so that the people would back you when you start to war against your enemy. And at that particular time, when everybody was drunk and the king was highly drunk, on the seventh day, the Bible says that this king invited or called the wife to come with a crown and to come before the drunk men. And you also discover that at that time, the wife was also holding the third party. The third party, she was holding the, the party with women somewhere, because women majorly were not really joining with the men majorly when they drink. In that Middle East culture, just as it is today, many women and men don't mingle when they're doing parties. Yes, they're in the same household or the same compound, but they don't come together per se. So probably that was the reason. So Queen was also holding, Queen Vashti was holding a party for the women. So when the king called the queen, she refused for some reasons. We're not very sure. We don't exactly know for sure what exactly transpired, but a few things might have happened. Number one, the king was very drunk, and Vashti knew maybe the character of his man, what he was capable of doing when drunk. Number two, it is said that the king had ordered the queen to come while, some tradition says, while she was naked. We do not know, we're not very sure, but supposing that was true, that that was a tradition, it was wrong for, I mean, the the queen felt that this is not really the best way to go about, to be displayed before men who are drunk. Now, and she knew they were capable of doing anything. They were capable of even manhandling or mishandling her. And she refused. Or maybe because she was at the top of maybe delivering a point to the women. We do not know. And the queen refused to go. And that set the very first key point in this story. A queen that has refused. Ideally, when the queen refuses the command, or anybody refuses the command of a king, there's only but one law. And the law was to kill. To kill. Everyone who refuses the law of the king, the word of the king is the law, was to be killed. But the king, though drunk, did not go that way. He called the seven wise men. And the seven wise men, they were to give the king what ought to be done. And they have met together, these seven kings, I mean, these seven advisors of the king, and they are deliberating on what to do to King Vashti. In the next session, we'll follow up and see what exactly they transpired. What did they agree about? Now, this is to tell you, every time you pray for the king, please, or the president today, please pray for the advisors. Because the advisors of the president, or the those who are around the president, are actually the one who make much of the decisions. And sometimes we only pray for the president and our kings and the rulers and the bishops and the governors, but we don't pray for the people who advises them. Let's trust God that God will continue to have good decisions for us. Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to learn from this book, and especially what happens to people who are minority believers, other the majority unbelievers. Some of them go through very difficult situation. Father, this would mean some women who are believers, but they live with men who are not believers. Some of them, they find their homes being used for brewing or for doing all manner of evil from those men, and there's nothing they can do. This book, oh God, would help us on what to do. This also talks about people who are believers, the minority believers, and they are living with hostile people who are rulers. God, help us and keep advising us. And as you did in this book, you will do in all our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.